The God you are trusting to work for you can also be the God who works against you.
But Dr. Tony Evans says even when that happens, the goal is revival, not rejection.
Here we have the reason why revival is needed. When God is working against you, it is because there has been a spiritual decline that has gone unaddressed.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. We have a choice. We can cling to our agenda, or we can cling to Christ. Today, Dr. Evans explains why pushing for our own plans can be the obstacle standing in the way of revival. Let's join him.
Of all the revival passages in the Bible, the one that is most known and most loved, and probably the clearest, is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, particularly verse 14, which we'll get to in a moment, has become the standard prescription for revival, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This series is for those who need to be restored. And even if you don't need to be restored, you need to know what the prescription is because you get the right one for somebody else to take. Solomon has built the temple for the Lord. In chapter 6, which I'd love for you to read over the course of the week, verses 12 through 42, he prays a dedication prayer. Like we have dedication of buildings and dedication of homes and dedication of babies. In chapter 6, beginning verse 12, all the way through the end of the chapter, he prays this prayer of dedication, where he dedicates the house of God, the temple, to the Lord, his dedicatory prayer. He says, God, this is built for you. This is your house. In the Old Testament, the temple became the central place from which God dealt with his people. He did it in Israel from the temple. The temple is called his house. It was where the glory of God, his manifest presence, was resident in the midst of his people. It was in the temple. The glory cloud came down and resided inside of this magnificent building that housed the representative and actual presence of God. I want to clarify that. No building can hold God. In fact, the Bible is so clear on this that God is beyond the world itself. That God is greater than the sum total of his creation. Just accept it, don't meditate on it. All right? God is greater than the sum total of his creation. In other words, God is bigger than the universe he made. So that's a staggering concept of God, which is why it will take eternity to get to know him because of his inexhaustibility. He is inexhaustible. In other words, to him there is no end. We call that infinitude, the infinity of God. We are finite. Finite means limited. God is infinite. Without limitation, there is no end to his scope. So therefore, it will take eternity to discover him. But don't worry, you'll have eternity to do just that. So God has to manifest his presence in a localized, representative way. And he did that in the temple, the house. That would be his point of contact with his people. This point of contact, let's say White House. When I say the White House, you know that as the place where the president resides. That's where the Oval Office is, where the president does his executive work in the executive branch of government. It's done in a house. It's done in the White House. He is actually there. But even though he is actually there, that house represents something bigger than merely his presence. It represents his leadership rule as the head of state of these United States. So he has a representative presence from that house that's bigger than the location. Or the House of Congress. When the leaders meet in the Senate, And the House of Representatives, they meet in a house, a building. But their actual presence represents more than just what happens in that building. It represents the legislative branch where the rules are made that run the country. In other words, these houses have actual people in them who represent something bigger than their presence. The house of God, the temple, was where God's representative presence was, because God is bigger than the house. But it was his point of, here it is, point of contact. In other words, you could connect with God in a very specific way through your identification with his house, that is, his temple. Then Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was there, the house of the Lord, for there he offered the burnt offerings, the burnt offerings. We see in verse 5, he offered a sacrifice. Thus the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. The house of God was viewed as a house of sacrifice. I'm going into this because you can fully appreciate the other things I want to say when you understand this house. It was a house of sacrifice because once Adam and Eve sinned, immediate contact with God was no longer possible. Now it had to be mediated contact with God. In other words, you couldn't go directly to God once Adam sinned because of God's perfection. You had to be led into his presence. And thus the sacrifices were the mediating point that addressed the sin question that allowed God's people into God's presence. Now we don't have goats and lamb and sheep and bulls that we have to sacrifice because of the final sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But even the final sacrifice of Jesus Christ allows mediation to occur. That is a point of access to God, because only in heaven, where there is no sin, will we have immediate access to God. Now we have mediated access to God, which is why we pray in Jesus' name, because it is through his sacrifice that access to God is granted, and only through that sacrifice. So this house of sacrifice, house of God, was the place of contact so that God's people could get to God. Now, what's very interesting is that in the New Testament, two things are called the temple. In the New Testament, your body is called the temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, your body is the temple of God. The second thing that's called the temple is the church, the gathered body of Christ. This gathering is called the temple. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, he says that we are the temple of God, a dwelling place in the Spirit. So that your body is a temple, is a church house, and our bodies collectively in this place is also called a temple. What is a temple? It is the representative presence of God. It's not the full presence, because God is bigger than any one place, any one body, or any one church house, but it is the representative presence of God, so that there was a point of contact. So that I want to establish that, because that's the context of this passage, that the people needed a point of contact. How do you get to this immense God in a way that you can define it? Through a point of contact. The point of contact was the temple. Solomon has prayed this prayer, and that leads us to this issue of revival, beginning with verse 12. The Lord appears to Solomon at night and says to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Okay? This is the place I have chosen as my contact point. That's my point of contact. Verse 13. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. All right? Here we have the reason why revival is needed. Revival is needed because God is no longer working for his people. God is working against his people. Don't miss that. The reason why he's getting ready to get into this revival verse, verse 14, is because of verses 12 and 13. This house of sacrifice that's been set up to give you a point of contact with me is a very important house. And it's a very important point of contact because when my people work against me, I work against them. Notice, he didn't just say that it was raining or that there were just locusts. He says, if I command the locust and if I shut up the heavens and say, it's going to be a drought. And if I send pestilence among my people. So let's get something inextricably clear. The God you are trusting to work for you can also be the God who works against you. So what you have to determine is whether the things I am going through are things that God has set up against me. We all want to talk about God working for us, and that is a great conversation to have. That's just not the only conversation. Throughout the Bible, you will find God resisting his people, and instead of sending blessing, cursing comes. Or he resists them or works against them. We talked about Romans 1 last time. Because God is a God not only of love, God is a God of wrath. And that wrath is revealed against all unrighteousness. In fact, Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2 says, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years and cool off your wrath.
Dr. Evans will be back in a moment to explain God's wrath in terms that every parent can understand. And God's wrath is just one of the attributes Tony examines in detail in his brand new book, God Himself. It's a probing look at the many characteristics that make the Lord who He is, His nature, His goodness, His love, and much more. We serve an infinite God, so there's always more to learn. But Tony says the deeper our understanding, the richer our worship. And since we're made in God's image, knowing who He is defines who we are. We'd like to send you a copy of this just-released book as our thank-you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, we'll include all 14 full-length messages in Tony's current teaching series, Revive Us Again, packed with advice on how you can rekindle your relationship with the Lord. Get all the details at TonyEvans.org or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have our contact information for you again after part two of today's lesson and this.
That was a book from the heart where I deal directly with the race issue.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about oneness embraced. A look at why bridging the racial gap isn't about overlooking our differences, but making the most of them.
God is calling his people together in order to advance his kingdom, and that must happen intentionally. The churches are going to have to take the lead to model the kingdom of God.
Oneness Embraced, the biblical prescription for racial reconciliation. Available now at TonyEvans.org.
Every parent in here knows that in relationship to our children, we love them, we care about them, but if you are a responsible parent, Bible says, he that refuses to correct his child, the Bible says you don't love him. Because love also corrects. And that means negative things being brought to bear on the child until the child gets the point. Right? So the issue we have to face here is God working against me. Is God keeping me from moving forward? Is God? Now, every negative thing that happens, let's get this correct. Every negative thing that happens is not God working against you. Some things happen because sin is in the world and it's just there, or there are other evil people. But there are some things, and more than we would care to admit, that happens where God is working against us because we have departed from him. And you need to be able to determine the difference. You say, how do I know the difference? How do I know whether all this negative stuff that's happening in my life that's not ever getting straight is God working with me or a trial or a test that he's given to develop me? Well, first of all, when God is working against you, it is because there has been a spiritual decline that has gone unaddressed. You're going south spiritually, and there is a refusal to address the fact that you're going south or you're moving away from God. The second thing, coupled with that thing, is that the circumstances not only never change, but they keep getting worse. Now, Job's circumstances got worse, but he was not in a state of spiritual decline. Therefore, it was a test. But when there is a state of spiritual decline with an increase, that no matter what you do, things don't get better, then you have to seriously raise the question whether I'm not dealing with circumstances, whether I'm dealing with judgment. In the book of Amos, chapter 4, verses 6 to 12, God says, I sent you pestilence and you wouldn't turn. I sent you drought and you wouldn't turn. I let another army come up and beat up on you, but you wouldn't turn. In other words, you wouldn't turn, you kept declining, and I kept sending stuff. Because unless the spiritual gets addressed, then God will not reverse how he is relating to us. So we must connect our problems with spiritual issues, either judgment and discipline or trials that he brings to take us further and develop us further. Now, then God gives how to turn it around, revival. How we can turn it around. I would like to submit to us today that there are many things in our lives we can turn around. There are many negative circumstances, the pestilence, the drought, where nothing is working. We can turn around. We can reverse the curse, if you will. We can change the situation. He says in verse 14, when I've done all this negative stuff to make life miserable, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. That is a pregnant verse. Here is how you turn it around or help somebody else turn it around when there's spiritual decline and the negative stuff just keeps on coming and only continues to get worse. If my people who are called by my name. The first thing you need to know is revival is primarily focused on God's people, on saints, not sinners. He says that his people who are under his claim have to be revived for there to be a change in the circumstances that have come related to spiritual decline. And then he lists what his people must do who have been stamped, branded by his name. He says, first of all, if my people would humble themselves and pray. It is calling on God to interfere with my human affairs. If that willingness to submit is not coupled with the prayer, then you're not making spiritual contact. In weightlifting, if you really want to build up your leg muscles, the best exercise out there is squatting. Squatting means that you got to go low and come back up if you want to build up some strength. A lot of us want to pray but don't want to squat. He says, humble yourself in prayer. I know that in most sports, high score wins, except golf. The lower you go, the better off you are. When it comes to God, low score wins. He says, you must come to God with a willingness to submit, because now you're treating him as God and not as Santa Claus. Not as if somebody, I want to do something for me today, but I have bent the knee. We're talking about revival now, and we're talking about people who want to see a change in their situation. You want to see heaven start opening up for you because it's been closed too long. You want the drought to end. You want the pestilence, that which is eating up your joy, that which is eating up your peace, to go away. God says, first of all, humble yourselves and pray. He then says, seek my face. When he says, seek my face, he is saying those people who want to change in their circum of revival must come into my presence. But to get in my presence, to get in God's presence, you just can't come there any kind of way. You've got to come there in a way that's acceptable because it's his presence. It's his presence. So the concern here is that they are seeking my face. They are coming into my presence. They are coming on my terms. They are recognizing who I am. My face. They want me. Now, here is one of our problems. One of our problems when we want things changed in our circumstance is we don't necessarily want God, but we want what God can do for us. We want his benefit, we want his help, we want his deliverance, but we don't want him. In other words, we don't want the relationship, we just want the benefits. And most of us have trouble with people who get in our face like that. We know they don't care about us, but because there's something we can do for them, they will come in our vicinity. They're not seeking our face, they're seeking our stuff. He says, seek my face. The reason why he has to tell them to seek my face is because they're seeking all these other folks' face too. When you do that, you have adopted an idol. God says, if you want revival, you must seek my face, meaning don't seek the face of idols. In other words, don't go outside of me. Here it is. The moment you go outside of me, you cancel me.
God has offered us revival. The requirement on our part begins with acknowledging and receiving it. Dr. Evans is here with a word about where to start.
If you have yet to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we can resolve that right now. I'm going to say a little prayer. I want you to pray it after me, but you've got to mean it for yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior because I can't save myself. So right now, I trust you alone because you died for me and arose for me to be my sin bearer. You are now my substitute, and I'm believing you to forgive my sin and to give me eternal life. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that you have given to me. Help me to live a life to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family, and we'll keep ministering to you for your spiritual growth through our broadcast. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer right now, let me encourage you to visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. There you can download some free follow-up resources that'll help you get your brand new life started right. Well, today's lesson was the second in Tony's current series, Revive Us Again. Don't forget, all 14 full-length messages in this two-volume collection will be yours with our thanks if you'll help us keep bringing you Tony's teaching each day with a generous contribution. You'll receive the complete series on CD and downloadable MP3s, and as a special bonus, you'll be one of the first to own Tony's brand new book, God Himself, A Journey Through His Attributes. To take advantage of this limited-time combo offer, be sure to call us for details, 1-800-800-3222. Resource team members are on hand 24/7 to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or make the arrangements and get your digital downloads right away at TonyEvans.org. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will have more for us on the requirements for revival, along with a look at how spiritual healing can begin to happen once the obstacles are out of the way. I hope you'll be back for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.